Clayton. John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
Time to talk some football with the Professor John Clayton. We do it every day at this time with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. If you guys have questions for John, text them in now to 710-710, the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. We'll try to get to some of your questions before we let him go. Hello, John.
Hello, guys.
How are you?
Good. A little more awake than yesterday.
You weren't very awake yesterday?
Oh, you had to get up early for your voting.
Well, I mean, we started the call at 6:30, the Zoom call, but naturally, because it's a Zoom call, you probably need about 15 minutes just to make sure you can get in. So literally, you know, it's about 6:10. I was down here trying to get linked up, and then naturally, you're worried because you don't know if it's going to work and all that stuff, so you don't get much sleep before then.
I got you. Now, who'd you vote for again? Let's see, Peyton Manning, Tom Flores. Who were the other ones you told us?
That's it.
Oh, okay. Hey, what can you tell us about as we continue with this, the offensive coordinator search for the Seahawks? A new name has emerged, running back coach for the Raiders, Kirby Wilson. What can you tell us about him?
Well, I know him from back in Pittsburgh. I mean, he was one of the best running back coaches then. And, of course, you can see, with him going to San Francisco, well, he went to the Raiders, and they've done such a good job in developing that. Now, the question is going to be, can he make the conversion to be a play caller? Because I don't think he's really done that. Now, I know Anthony Lynn did it for 1 year in 2016. But he's considered a bright coach. Obviously, he's going to be a running coach. And then what you wonder, is this going to be one of those things where it's going to be a dual-purpose type of offense where it's like, okay, you have your run coordinator and the play caller in Kirby Wilson, or is it going to be, with Dave Canellis also in there getting some of the pass calls and trying to put their heads together on it? I mean, Kirby does have a history with Pete Carroll, coached with him back in the days when he was in New England, days in the Jets, certainly the days at USC. So, and I don't know if he did any USC play calling or not. He may have, but there's a long history right now with Kirby Wilson, with Pete Carroll.
Hey, John, we're just in general, sort of ballpark. We did every day we're doing free agents and just looking at some of the list for the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. So you got Lano Hill, which he'll be going into his fifth year. And DeMontre Moore going into his ninth year, and Jonathan Bullard in his sixth year that we're looking at. Are all of those guys pretty much a minimum salary type of guys, would you say?
Lano Hill may get more, but not from this team, I don't think, because I think if he does come back, it's got to be probably pretty close to the minimum. Certainly, in the case of Bullard, I mean, that'll be a minimum salary type of deal. It was a minimum type of deal for DeMontre Moore, but, if they know they can have some homes if they come back. But, because, the talk around the league right now, because, again, when they got everything agreed upon for the 2020 season, as far as the union and the owners, is that they're thinking, okay, we'll have a floor of $175 million from the $198.2 as far as the 2021 cap. But most people are starting to think that the cap in 2021 is going to be close to $180 million. And that really puts everybody in a major, major problem trying to figure out, okay, how am I going to get through this? Because, you're going to really have to get a lot more minimum salary type of deals, and there's a very little margin of error with some of the big contracts.
So a ninth-year guy like DeMontre Moore, you have an idea of kind of what that – he's a defensive end.
Yeah.
He's the one guy, John, that I really – like Bob asked me, who do you value? I value him because of his hustle.
Mm-hmm.
He hustles his tail off. He plays hard. He runs down on kickoffs. Is he a priority? No, like you said, John, probably a minimum guy. Defensive end, ninth year. What is he?
Yeah, it's seven, like a – well, it'll be – I have to – in fact, I'm just starting to go through the new numbers right now.
Oh, the adjusted numbers.
The adjusted numbers, because they're going to go up. So my guess is probably going to be, last year for somebody – because what he'll – this is – he's had 9 years, or is this going to be his ninth year coming?
This will be his ninth year, yeah.
Okay, so he would be a 105.0 guy, so that probably goes up to 1125, 1,025,000. And then the cap number, which would be 750, probably goes to 825.
Yeah, gotcha.
John, the 425 wants to know, Clayton, who is out there on the O-line that the Seahawks can get? Who would we cut to free up money to get him? And they say, I'm talking stud O-linemen, not scrubs.
It's, yeah, it's going to probably, if they're going to go outside, it's going to be pretty much kind of like they did with Brandon Shell and B.J. Finney, you know, those type of guys, you know, the $4 to $5 million a year guys, as opposed to trying to go out because, with particularly the needs they have as far as re-signings, if they're going to do something with Shaquille Griffin, you know, they have to certainly readjust the contract of Carlos Dunlap, is that, you know, they're not going to have a lot of wiggle room right now to go spend for a $10 million offensive lineman. I just don't see that happening. And so, it's going to be kind of like the free agency you saw with John Snyder last year or this past season. And, you know, because, again, it's like you're not going to be able to afford those $10 million plus players.
John, so your boy retired, Philip Rivers.
Yeah.
We just did a little bit of a story on him and about his arm release.
Dadgummit.
Dadgummit. Yeah, that's how he curses, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, just your thoughts on his retirement. And then, you know, I'm seeing with the Colts possibly targeting Wentz after the Rivers retirement, you think?
Oh, it could. I mean, I get the feeling that, part of the argument with Doug Peterson was what to do with Wentz. And Wentz obviously has a problem right now with Doug Peterson. So sounded like Jeff Lurie and the rest of the front office decided that they probably are going to keep Wentz. And I think that Salah wants to do the same thing. But naturally, if you're going to be Indianapolis, you have to explore that. You have to explore Sam Darnold. But I'm surprised, really, that Philip Rivers, dadgummit, decide to retire, because clearly he has more football left in him, at least a couple years. Maybe it's 1 year, maybe it's 2 years. But when you watched him throw at the end, particularly even in the playoff game, I mean, he was throwing as strong, if not stronger, than Ben Roethlisberger. I know he's 39 years old. Certainly the playoff loss hurt, but now for the fifth time in 5 years, I mean, you have the Colts looking for a quarterback, and that's been since the retirement of Andrew Luck. And so what you're thinking is that can you get a short-term fix or a long-term fix? And at this stage, they probably need the long-term fix. Now, certainly you know that Matthew Stafford is going to be in the cards. That could be one that could go there, could go to San Francisco. We'll see about Jimmy Garoppolo. We'll see about Jared Goff. But I think they've got to do something because, you know, right now, I mean, they have Jacoby Brissett, but his contract is up. And I kind of wonder, you know, having lost a starting job to Philip Rivers, and then also, you know, them drafting Jacob Eason, he must feel that hey, it's like, where am I in this whole equation?
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be one that they've got to all sort out. But, you know, I don't know if you saw the quote that Philip Rivers gave to ESPN, you know, because he wanted to say, hey, I just want to say, I hope I wasn't too nasty to all the officials that I criticized for the bad calls that I thought were bad. He says, but I was right almost all the time, dadgummit.
You know who else says dadgummit is Keith Butler.
Oh, does
he? The D coordinator for Pittsburgh.
Does he not curse?
Doesn't curse. Never heard him curse. And wow. All the years I've known him, I have a tendency to respect those guys. That's a real mental strength. I don't remember.
Maybe unless you just never did it, really. It's not hard, I guess. Right?
I don't remember hearing the professor.
It'd be hard for you and I to do that because we have foul mouths.
Dave, yeah. I grew up in a ghetto. Do you think I don't have a foul mouth?
Okay, well, I mean, I've heard you. Of course, mostly I talk to you on the radio.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Of course, you're not going.
Yeah,
to
because let's
that.
Put it this way: if I curse, then the station gets in trouble with the FCC. So it's like I think I better stay away from that.
Yeah. So anyway, but
and then Moore has to stand there every 30 seconds with the delete button to try to make sure that you don't do that. So I try to be well behaved.
She's ready. She knows where you're from, John.
Yeah, that's
I think
true.
One time you told a story about when you flush your toilet, somebody down the river gets your, and I think you might have accidentally slipped something in there. But other than you've been a good boy.
Hey, John, we've talked a lot about Deshaun Watson and where he may end up. Maybe he goes to the Colts. Who knows? But Is J.J. Watt going to be on the move? What's going to happen with him?
I think he's going to be out of there, too. The question is, I know I made a call down to Houston today, and the thought is they're not going to trade him. I mean, his big problem is...
You're talking Watson?
Watson, yeah. Okay. I mean, his big problem is that they have all kind of issues with Jack. I mean, he has issues with Jack Ellerbe, who's one of the front office guys who's on a 5-6 year contract at over $3 million, and the trust factor is just totally gone. I mean, I think if they hire a coach that he likes, they can solve it, but there's no way they can trade him because he's too valuable and there's a no-trade clause in his contract. But teams like the Jets, maybe Miami, they've got to inquire because, arguably, Watson's one of the six best quarterbacks in the league. In the case of J.J. Watt, I mean, it's one kind of like you can see with Carlos Dunlap. It's like it's time. It's time to move on. He's tired of the losing. He's tired of the defense not getting worse and worse and worse. And so, I'm sure what his hope is, they find a way to get him over to Pittsburgh because he has his two brothers there. And, they've got some issues with unsigned guys on the defensive line. But can you imagine J.J. Watt in Pittsburgh with Derek Watt and TJ Watt?
In your opinion, what does he have left? I mean, he's not the player he was. He's dealt with a lot of injuries. So what kind of appeal does he have?
Still good appeal. I mean, arguably, even at his age, he's the best defensive player on that team. And that may not be saying much because they don't have too many good defensive players left. But no, he's still good. And you can see he can rush the passer. Maybe he's not going to be as fast as he was and maybe a little bit more brittle, but he's still a good football player.
Hey, John, we heard from Patrick Mahomes' mother, and now we're hearing from Drew Brees' wife that he was playing. I'm not sure why, but I guess he was playing with a rotator cuff and a foot the whole year. Could that explain some of what we saw in that last playoff game, I wonder?
Could be, yeah. I mean, although I don't think Drew Brees' wife is helping Sean Payton at all, because if he did indeed have a foot problem and a neck problem and all these different things, it's like you got to put it on the injury report. And that's, you're hiding it then. And we've seen that happen before with a wife or two that'll, come out and say, oh, yeah. In fact, didn't they do that? It was Tom Brady's wife did it one year.
Yeah.
Talking about the injury he was playing through.
And she end up getting them in trouble, getting the Patriots in trouble for it?
No, I don't think they didn't get in trouble for it.
That was about concussions or something, right? He's played through concussions, and I thought it was something to do with that. John, the 206 asking, Professor, what will the Vikings do with Kirk Cousins? Isn't his contract up?
No, they gave him a contract extension of $33.5 million a year. And, it's such a contract that it's going to really be hard to move because there's so much dead money if you do it. And it's a completely guaranteed contract. So unless they can find a trade partner, it's going to be tough.
We know anything I mentioned earlier, Mahomes, and we talked about this already, about Colin Coward saying they should just move the game closer. But as it starts to stretch on, it's Wednesday now. I mean, all of a sudden you're starting to think, man, I mean, it could be that we're going to see Henny out there.
No, I don't see it. Here's where it is. And, there's a 5-stage protocol as far as coming out of concussion protocol. Okay, he's in stage 3. Okay, what is stage 3? Today he was on the practice field, and he was able to be out there for 30 minutes doing some things. Now, obviously, you can't be taking snaps behind center, but the Chiefs made a brutal mistake. I don't know why they did this, and said he had a full practice, which, of course, he didn't. I mean, because the next step in phase 4 is that, like, so if he passes, goes to phase 4 tomorrow, he can go on the practice field and do non-contact work and do stuff like that. So he may be able to take some snaps from center and do that. But I think he's on path right now to be able to play. I mean, he says he feels good. Andy Reid says he's making progress. And, phase 3, just getting to phase 5, where he finally gets cleared. And they're doing some, tests to see, okay, are you okay on this? Are you okay on that? But I think right now he's on pace to be able to play because, hey, it's Wednesday. Wednesday, it was a pretty easy day in the Andy Reid practice schedule. And so now Thursday is going to be a little bit more, and I think he's going to be able to do a little bit more.
John, the 509 wants to know where Juju Smith-Schuster ends up.
I think they'll try to find a way to keep him in Pittsburgh. Because if not, I mean, he'll be one of the more popular receivers out there because he's a real good receiver. And so they've got to kind of hunker down. And, you know, it's not out of the question to put the franchise tag on him because he's so valuable to the team. But they still have a lot of cap issues right now, the Steelers, and trying to figure out how they're going to get through and how they're going to get under the cap.
Hey, I know this isn't like pressing news that everybody's waiting on the edge of their seat, but the Lions did hire a new coach, Dan Campbell. Mm-hmm. What do we know about him? And then where would Matt Patricia be, do you think?
Okay. Well, I mean, it's kind of interesting to, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Patricia doesn't get much coaching this year because, again, it's like as bad as he was on defense, you want to really hire him as a coordinator? I mean, he does have talent, but, again, it didn't work out. I mean, what we know about Dan Campbell is he's a former Lions player, and we're stunned to find out he got a six-year contract.
Yeah.
And it's like it's not like he's an accomplished guy with play-calling experience or anything else. I'm sure – I mean, you kind of look at this like kind of like the offensive version of Mike Vrabel, although Vrabel had a real good – review of how he was rising up, you know, because he did become a coordinator. I mean, he was a very good coach. I mean, you can see he's
you're good. Saying Vrabel's saying the stuff about Campbell?
No. I'm just talking about, you know, I'm trying to get an example of, you know, what it is. And so, like, you know, Vrabel was a real good player.
Right.
And then he became a coach and then started to go up the ranks. And he's now emerged as a coach that's been able to get the Titans to back-to-back playoff appearances. I just don't know if it's Dan Campbell because, again, I mean, he wasn't like the main offensive coordinator. I mean, he was the tight ends coach. And, of course, I mean, I have to almost look at this, but the tight end, Jarrett Cook, may be as old as Dan Campbell. So it's just a curious hiring, and it does make you kind of wonder is that Detroit wanted to hire somebody that's been in Detroit. They couldn't get Robert Saleh because he ends up going to the Jets, even though, you know, Saleh grew up in the Detroit area. And now they go for Dan Campbell, but there's less skins on his wall than there is Robert Saleh or just about anybody else in the new coaching community.
Yeah, and like 13, 14 years ago, he played tight end for Detroit and had a nice 10-year career, but just not a guy that, you know, you've heard about as being, I don't know if he was on any of those lists. So, yeah, it was kind of surprising.
And a curious hire, although I think this guy may be pretty good, you know, in what they did at the general manager position, you know, because, you know, he was an area scout and really didn't work in the office with the Rams.
916 wanting to know where Earl Thomas is going to end up. And were you surprised, by the way, that nobody picked him up this season?
Not really. No, I think that his reputation was so bad, particularly with the Baltimore experience. And then also, I think he was, because again, you've seen how, you know, guys like Damon Snacks Harrison and Luke Wilson and all the, you know, veteran players that didn't get a job in the first month of the season basically had to accept going on the practice squad. Well, there was no way, ego-wise, that Earl was going to make it on the practice squad. He wouldn't just, I'm sure he wouldn't do it. It's like, I'm not going to go out there and, you know, play for, what, $12,000 a week? That's not happening. And so, you know, I'm sure he'll start to land someplace, but right now nobody can figure out where he can go.
It's weird that there was such a reaction to what happened in Baltimore. I mean, not justifying it at all, but there have been a lot of players that are much bigger creeps on and off the field that seem, I mean, Antonio Brown's got a home, you know, so it's just interesting that Earl, maybe it's worse behind the scenes than we know.
Well, it wasn't just the one incident with him. There was others. And, you know, for example,
him not practicing or going to meetings.
Being late for meetings, not showing up. And the one thing you know about Earl, you know, during the week, he's pretty much to himself. Right. And that's not saying that's not being bad or anything else. Like, for example, if you'd watch him during the week, it's not like he's, you know, Cam Chancellor, you know, getting his teammates motivated for the week. He sits there. I mean, he's going to look at his iPad and just kind of look and say, OK, I'm watching this play. I'm watching this play. I mean, he studies so hard that he really doesn't communicate with his players. Like, the most communication you're going to get out of Earl Thomas is going to be in games on the field, which he was very good at doing. But during the week, I mean, he's pretty much to himself. And, you know, whatever bad side that he got on, it just kind of got worse.
You know, we talked earlier about Keith Butler. He signed a dadgum one-year contract in dadgum Pittsburgh. And I didn't know this, John. It says he doesn't call the plays. I guess Mike Tomlin handles those duties. So I did not know that. I'm wondering if that's accurate.
I don't think it's accurate. No, because
this isn't Pro Football Talk.
Yeah, well, I mean, have we seen some inaccurate things occasionally in Pro Football Talk?
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, I was just wondering what the
we should ask Colin Cowherd.
No, as you said, he's gotten worse than Chris Sims.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Chris Sims is the one on Pro Football Talk. But, yeah, I imagine if you're doing sports talk radio in Pittsburgh, that sure ended poorly. I mean,
yeah.
What they're talking about. You said the other two Watt brothers are there, but I know TJ's there.
Yeah.
But Derek Watt's there?
He's a fullback.
Yeah, he's a fullback.
Yeah. Yeah. So that would be awesome if they could get JJ there, but probably not. Anyway, and then they got a big signing there with Bud Dupree. But, I mean, I just can't imagine, you know, doing – I mean, you're 11-0 and doing sports talk radio there, and you're thinking, wow, this is a Super Bowl team. I mean, they've got to be – I'm sure lots of fingers are being pointed there.
Oh, yeah, there's no question. I mean, the fingers right now are not going good, but, of course, they still – you know, the big question, and again, I think it's been answered, not officially, but, you know, about Big Ben, because he finished the season so bad with so many bad games and bad throws and looking pretty old, but it still sounds like he's going to be back.
Hmm. Hey, as far as Stafford goes, you were talking Lions. Yeah. What are their options if they get rid of him? Who's the backup in Detroit? Do they have somebody they feel
is
their apparent?
Well, I think is it Chase Daniels on a 1-year contract? He's now a free agent.
Yeah.
I mean, they really don't have a backup. I mean, Mark Slough would be somebody that still I think that they have control over, because I don't think he's completed, you know, his 3 years or 4 years, so maybe Mark Slough would be there, but I don't think you're going to go into the season of hope and say that we're going to ride Mark Slough out there and try to do it. So very curious position, but then you know you figure that it's been so tough for Matthew Stafford because he's played so well since coming on a team that didn't win a game and after he was drafted, and then you know he's been I think the 3 or 4 playoffs teams, but the team hasn't been good enough around him to win a playoff game.
John, I know you're a journalist and you're objective and all that.
Thank you.
What's been your
and all that
and all that, you know, noise? But what about I don't know, just a team that you think that's left? Whether it's, you know, the Bills, I think it's a really good story there.
Mm-hmm.
But Tampa's a pretty good story there. Which one do you think is sort of the most interesting of the four that are left?
Well, I mean, you probably have to say, you know, still it's Tom Brady, because, you know, here's his chance to maybe get to his 10th Super Bowl, and he's doing it on a team that, what, hasn't been to the playoffs since, 2007, somewhere like that? I mean, they've been, you know, 9, 10 years, 11 years or so not going to the playoffs, and, you know, here they are knocking on the door. They finally get the big win over New Orleans, and they go into Green Bay, of course, you know, what you wonder about. Now, not that Tom's going to be influenced by this at all, because he played in Foxborough, where they have snow. It's supposed to be 1 to 3 inches of snow in Green Bay, but I still think that's probably the most intriguing, because I mean you still have two great quarterbacks going over, and certainly the story in Buffalo is fantastic, because you have to go back to 1993 was the last time they won a playoff game and the last time they've been to the Super Bowl. And so you know the thoughts of Brady getting to his 10th Super Bowl, the thoughts of Josh Allen and the Bills getting back after all that time of no playoff wins and, you know, almost 2 decades. Because remember, you know, once they made the playoffs 2 years ago, they took the Mariners and made them now the franchise that hasn't been to the playoffs the longest time in sports, because the Bills were the franchise in sports been in the longest and not going to the playoffs.
That's right.
John, we appreciate it. We'll do it again tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good.
There you go. If you missed any of today's cold, hard facts, brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill, download the podcast at 710sports.com. Coming up, ESPN ranked their top 50 NFL free agents this offseason. Should we expect much from the Seahawks in free agency this year? And did any Seahawks make that top 50 list? We'll tell you next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.